Audible Inc. presents Serial Killers, Philosophy for Everyone, Being and Killing. Edited by S. Waller, with a foreword by John M. Doris. Series editor, Fritz Allhoff. Narrated by Josh Clark.
Foreword. Written by John M. Doris. Why a philosophy book about serial killers? For all that, why think about serial killers at all? Haven't we got enough spiders in our heads without filling up on stuff like that? I know I do. I'm a recovering serial killer addict. I've read more than I can remember, or care to, about such aberrations, both factual and fictional. But I'm older now, and possibly a little wiser. I've gotten clean and shaken my infatuation with moral obscenity. Maybe this is the natural course of things. Towards the end of a long and admirable life, much of it dedicated to the prevention of cruelty to children, my father watched little but comedies. When you've done all you can, who needs reminding about places so far beyond the reach of goodness? In graduate school, when I first heard about Milwaukee's Jeffrey Dahmer, I got a bit frayed. Dahmer lived in a dumpy apartment building, much like mine, anonymous and unhopeful. I stared at the pictures of his front door. So far as I could tell, it was made of the same wood-like substance that fronted the entrance to my flat. What causes the man in Ann Arbor to fill his rooms with overdue seminar papers, and the man in Milwaukee to fill his with dismembered body parts? My thoughts began to foul. In the office of the rock and roll club where I worked as a door person, I posted a sign-up sheet for the Jeffrey Dahmer Fan Club and Recipe Exchange. I pestered any tolerably coherent customer I was able to corner. "Did you hear about that Dahmer guy?" Not entirely my fault. The workplace was not conducive to optimal psychological sanitation. Under the inevitable "women can't live with him, can't live without him" scrawled on the men's room wall, someone had written, in a careful hand, "But you can cut their bodies into little pieces and leave them in the woods." Why the nervous laughter? Not merely voyeurism. Even as we drown in an ocean of digitized imagery that both stretches and deadens the imagination, I'm betting the bulk of us don't have voyeuristic interests quite that prurient. Then maybe it's because we're more like serial killers than we care to admit. Maybe we're somehow more producer than consumer. Do we see our own fragile countenances in Ted Bundy's unholy smirk? It is tempting to suspect a certain complicity. The victims of serial murder are often persons who have been repeatedly ill-treated before their final victimization. Dahmer's victims were gay men of color, while Gary Ridgway, the Green River killer, targeted prostitutes. The tragic indifference of the Milwaukee police in the Dahmer case provides emphasis here. And so far as I can tell, no serial killer has targeted Goldman Sachs executives or derivatives traders. White males are the bulk of serial killers, and white males may well be the bulk of serial fans, so perhaps there's a kind of collusion. But when one learns that white males are also the bulk of serial victims, matters seem more complex. Maybe there would be fewer serial killers in a more just society, but injustice can't explain the peculiar fascination. There are lots of lethal injustices and lots of complicities. Industrial food, tobacco, automobiles, and criminally inadequate health insurance kill far more Americans than serial killers, who are, after all, a sort of statistical anomaly. But these more prosaic inequities don't make for the same kind of story. Names like Bundy, Gacy, and Dahmer are likely to be remembered long after we've forgotten which Wall Street megalomaniac spent how much on his office wastebasket. If forced to guess, I'd say the fascination owes more
Sample complete. Ready to continue?